It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and this is news that you can use from Courage with your hosts, I should say for Thursday, April 18th, with your hosts, me, Ray, and, well, Zach, the guy that could actually be shocked during a power outage. What? Well, you're shocked daily, buddy. I mean...
That was a good one. I deserve that. But actually, what we're going to talk about in just a second here with Ally Financial and other regional banks is pretty alarming. That being said, today's show brought to you by us, CarEdge.com. Our end-of-month promotion just went live. Our car buying tool set, 20% off, as well as our protection plans, $150 off. And Pop's big news, we got key protection and tire and wheel coverage brand new back at CarEdge.com. And just like everything else we do, flat yes. and transparent markups on those products, same as our extended warranty products, the vehicle protection. So everything is no BS, all the contracts right there. Please go take a peek. Now, Dad, the big story today is with Ally Financial.
Shocking, I'm sure.
Net income down 51% for the first quarter. And a lot of this, Dad, ties back to loan loss provisions. Ally Financial having to materially increase their loan loss provisions. And before we dig in on Ally, yes. I want to make you aware, this is not just an Ally issue, Dad. There were other bank earnings that came out just today. Comerica Bank saw their earnings and revenue miss significantly. They had previously been, it's right over my head, it's quite tiny. They had previously been shooting for $800 million in revenue, but ended up doing $548 million. Still huge numbers here. And KeyCorp,
that's a big miss. That's a huge miss. Yeah, $250 million miss. Yeah.
KeyCorp also doing earnings today, and they missed materially as well. Dad, the financial sector, especially tied to auto, not looking pretty right now. And it is actually, you know what? It's not shocking because we've been covering this for freaking ever, but the results are interesting. Maybe that's what I should have gone with today.
Yeah, but who would tune in to see Ally Financial is interesting in the auto industry? Nobody's going to tune into that.
They missed materially, and loan loss provisions are primarily to blame. They had to increase them. I'll pull up the stats here in just a second, but significantly because folks are not paying their auto loans off.
Well, I will say this. I hadn't seen that article because I hadn't been on automotive news in the last hour or so. But yes, for their, what was that, income or revenue down 51%?
Profit was down 51%.
Profit down 51%. You know what? I kudos to you. I think that is shocking. I agree with you. That does shock the auto industry. That probably sends shockwaves throughout the entire lending industry. If they're increasing their loan loss provisions significantly, they see what you and I have been talking about for months and months and months and months, and that is you can't continue to raise the price of the vehicles and continue to extend the length of time that you expect your consumers to pay back those loans while having average car payments of $750 a month or higher without running into major issues at a certain point. If somebody entered in to, say, an 84-month loan, a seven-year loan, 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, and maybe they've driven more than they thought they would, and they have 60,000 miles, and they've had a couple issues with the vehicle, and they're thinking, I don't like it, and I think I want to get something different. They, much like us, will be shocked when they find out how much their vehicle is worth in comparison to what is still owed on it. And I can assure you, in those cases, it's going to be significantly more than the average negative equity that's brought into a car deal today. And when I say, and that number is a little over $6,000, I'm telling you, somebody that entered into an 84-month loan three and a half years ago is probably upside down $12,000 to $15,000 if they wanted to get out of it today. Okay, so once they find that out and they realize that they cannot get out, they also just might realize that, well, maybe I won't make the payments on time. You know, maybe that'll be the last thing I pay instead of the first thing I pay. And if it's happening at Ally, it's happening at all the other major auto lending institutions out there.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's showing up in their quarterly numbers. Your point is well heard. People who are sitting there $10,000, $15,000 underwater on their car loan, what motivation do they have aside from preserving their credit score, which at that point, who knows if they really care that much about it, preserving their credit score, do they have to keep making those payments? No wonder we see, and in this case, Dad, I'll pull it up on the screen so that everyone can read it with me here. In the discussion of first quarter results, like we said, profit was $129 million, down from $291 million the prior year. So a significant decline in profit, a 51% decline. And the line just over our heads, provision for credit losses increased $61 million year over year to $507 million, reflecting higher net charge-offs. This was partially offset by a reserve release credit that they were able to get. But the significant news here is that people have stopped paying auto loans and Ally, their profit is going down materially as a result. The other regional banks who are seeing their earnings get hit, I find to be fascinating as well, because those are not just auto-specific finance companies. Those are just regional banks, and their earnings missed significantly today. Makes me wonder, I'm not saying it out loud, but it makes me wonder if there's just some broader financial instability in the market. But then you look at the stock prices for these organizations. Ally stock price up significantly, KeyCorp up significantly, Comerica up significantly. So, I have
begged you over the course of time to explain to me why bad news equals good things on the stock market, and bad news and oftentimes good news equals bad news ones. I mean, I don't get it. So, you know, why banks miss their numbers and then the stockholders go, time to buy more. Let's keep raising that stock. I don't know. I don't get it. But what I do get is the complicity of the banks to agree to finance more money than the vehicle's worth in many cases for many people who now find themselves in a severe negative equity position with unwieldy high car payments, vehicle payments. And that doesn't happen if the bank doesn't say yes. Okay. I mean, I understand the dealer asks for it and the dealer has a history and a relationship with the bank. But, you know, at a certain point, the buyers at the banks have to go, yeah, we appreciate that relationship, but financially, this doesn't make sense for us or the customer that you're trying to get us to approve.
I wonder what's going on the commercial side right now. Ally is a massive floor plan financial institution for dealers, and I wonder what's happening. Remember Vroom? They used to do the floor planning for Vroom. Remember off-lease only? They did the floor planning for off-lease only. Those companies have gone out of business. They've stopped that line a bit. So I'm just curious if we could, if I'm not mistaken, Carvana uses Ally for their floor planning as well. So
I'm not sure. I think they have a significant line of credit with.
Yeah, I think it was like $3 or $4 billion line of credit with Ally. Like, I would just be really curious, and I'll dig through the earnings, or if anyone already has and has insights into that. I'm super curious because we're seeing loan loss provisions go up on the consumer auto loan side. I'd wonder. If we're also seeing, you know, provisions going up on the dealer floor plan line of business as well.
Based on CarMax's profit reports, their quarterly earnings and reports, you would have to think that would impact if they're experiencing difficulties and declines in profit. You would have to think that is what's going on with other major used car retailers. Now, I believe Carvana reports on the 23rd is when they report their quarterly earnings. Yep. So we shall see. I think CarMax is the largest retailer of pre-owned cars in the United States, and significantly more than their major competitor, Carvana. Mm-hmm. And if CarMax is struggling, I would suspect that we would see some numbers from Carvana that would corroborate that they're having similar type of issues. Either that or once again, magic accounting. So we shall see.
We shall see. But there you go. That's your finance market update from this morning, folks. Ally, really, really, really alarming. 51% decline year over year in profit. Let's switch gears. Let's talk a little bit about the new car market. We have the latest data from Cox Automotive. New vehicle inventory increases while steady sales pull down days supply. So we've seen an increase in total available new vehicle inventory to 2.77 million. Pretty dang gone close to where we were in February at 2.74 million. But the days supply, which had gotten as high as almost 80, yes, 79, back at the beginning of March, fell by the end of March to 72 days supply of inventory.
Do you know why? Here, I'll help you with why. Because a lot of the aged EV inventory that had been sitting got sold. And it got sold because EV incentives were huge, so to speak.
EV makes up such a small percentage of inventory, though. I don't think it is, but it's enough. That
percentage, if suddenly there's a huge uptick in the amount of EVs that were sold, and there were, and it's directly attributable to the incentives and the massive discounts, then even though it's a small percentage, it's enough to bring down the overall day supply for the industry.
You and I run into this frequently. I don't think it's EV specific. I could see it that it was like aged unit specific, but I also just, from everyone I've talked to, sales were slow in March. Sales were not, you know, gangbusters by any stretch. So I wonder how much of this was just moving vehicles into service loaner fleet and saying they were sold when they weren't actually.
Well, and some of it could be that, you know, for instance, somebody that works for a large rental car company said, hey, you know, the size of our Dodge Hornet rental car fleet has grown dramatically. So if you ever wonder where all those Hornets have been going, they're going to rental car companies. Yeah. And that would lower the day supply if there's been a significant shift from dealer inventory to, you know, Hertz and Avis and all the others.
That being said, even though days supply of inventory is down to 72 from 79, it is still up 30% year over year. So what's going on for consumers in the new car market is still good news. And for dealers, it's bad news. They're sitting on more and more inventory with high floor plan interest costs. So even though it's gotten a little bit better for the industry from 79 to 72, it's still significantly higher than it was last year.
It's going to continue. The day supply is going to continue to go up, and the total inventory is going to continue to go up. Because on the retail side of things, retail sales to retail customers, normal people like you and I, not fleet purchasers, normal people, those sales are up a tad, maybe, if not just stagnant.
We covered the Ford news very recently. Their sales were up, what was it, like 5.8% year over year for the first quarter, and their inventory was up like 40% or so. It's not mapping.
Yeah, I think we have been saying for the longest period of time that if you delve into the numbers and you look more closely, whatever increases we see are directly attributable to fleet purchases, not normal customer purchases. Normal 100%. People like you and, well, we're not normal people like the people that watch this show, but not you and I. We're not normal.
I'm going to break down in just a second the individual manufacturer's day supply. Before I do, I mentioned it earlier. We launched new protection products yesterday. I'm super proud of this tire and wheel.
Yes.
Under protection plans, tire and wheel. I want to put you on the spot that our tire and wheel that we have, Car Edge tire and wheel, covers flat tires, tire and wheel replacement, as well as curb and cosmetic damage. Okay. Yeah. There are certain states where it's not available. Unfortunately, California, Florida, New England, New Hampshire, New York, and Washington State. We're working to get this in all 50 states. But Dad, I want to put you on the spot. What do you think 7-year unlimited mileage tire and wheel is going to cost on a new Acura?
We have not rehearsed this, folks. I have no idea, but I'm going to say $1,295 for 7-year unlimited mileage coverage.
All right. So we got 5 years by default. Let's go to 7 years, $904. We beat the Ray. I guess I was off.
I had.
Andy is Nebraska, not New England. Sorry. Thank you, guys. Okay. Nebraska.
Yes. Yeah. Because when did New England become a state?
Oh yeah, Boston. Sorry, Boston. But there you go, man. I'm super proud of this. And again, there's no personal information required to get any of this information. Really, really, really proud of our team for pulling that together. And please, 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 before you flame on us for selling tire and wheel coverage, you do not need to buy this. Use it to negotiate with dealers. Use it as an alternative. Please don't give us hell because we have a business and we're trying to make money. We're giving people alternative options to what they have at the dealership. And spiel,
okay.
The Asian brands continue to have the tightest supplies, Dad. We've got here Nissan and Infiniti are the only exceptions. Toyota has a 33-day supply. Lexus and Honda have a 43 and 46-day supply. Ford has a 97-day supply. Lincoln 130, Jeep 127. Dodge and Ram continue to go off the freaking charts. They have over double than industry average days supply. They're not even on the freaking chart, man. Dodge, Jaguar, Ram, Alfa Romeo, Fiat can't even get on the chart.
Inconceivable. Absolutely inconceivable that Dodge and Ram can just be pushing so many.
Is it though, Dad? Is it? It's not. It's no, not inconceivable. It's not.
No, what's inconceivable is that their dealers keep taking the cars. That's the inconceivable part. Now, I did see something today from CDG that they're going to change their incentives to we're going to pay you to take the cars. Okay, so the incentives are going to become the more you take, the more we pay you.
I don't have it censored, so I'll do this for tomorrow's show, but yeah. I have text messages and emails from CDJR dealers nationwide, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram dealers, telling me, Zach, we've told Stellantis we are not taking any more vehicles. If we need vehicles, we'll do dealer swaps. They're refusing inventory even more aggressively than they were before. And it's quite frankly pissing off Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram because they need to get rid of these cars. To your point, I saw that note as well. We saw this with Nissan. Nissan was paying dealers additional incentives to take inventory.
Yes.
We are seeing the same thing start to happen with Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. And yet we still get messages from our community members of CDJR dealers not making deals. It makes no sense. When you look at this chart, anyone to the right of that green line has no rational justification to not make deals. I mean, we even see Subaru dealers that have a 60-day supply being super aggressive to sell Subarus right now. Yes. And they have below the industry average days supply of inventory. Like, what? It's shocking to me that there are some dealers out there that just do not, that absolutely refuse to lower their prices and negotiate.
There are some, I'm trying to think of a polite way to say this. There's some really stupid operators out there, it makes you wonder, A, how they ever gathered up enough money to buy a dealership, B, how they ever convinced the factory that they should be approved to buy a dealership, and then how they think they're going to survive if they don't make deals when their inventory's stacking up. If you have 10 customers and you have one of what it is that those 10 customers want, you can charge whatever you want. If you have one customer and 100 of what it is that customer wants, you can't stand there and say, Well, you don't take it. The guy behind, there's nobody behind them. Okay. You, as the customer, you can look around and you can go, other than your own cars on the lot, there's nobody here. So at a certain point, these operators have to just wake up and go, that inventory looks better in somebody else's driveway than on my lot. And so, yeah, I don't understand how some of these people ended up with dealerships. And quite frankly, my suspicion is that some who are, there are plenty of people at the factory level going, see, told you we should have never given him a dealership. Just makes 100%. No sense.
100%, man. Hey, one other interesting tidbit that's not brand specific. The average listing price for new vehicles at the start of April was $47,240, higher versus 1 year ago by only $177. Vehicles under $40,000 continue to have the tightest supply. I like it. Yes. I feel strange how they went to tightest. Tightest and loosest? What are we talking about? It's the lowest and highest. At a price point of over $80,000, the market hits the industry average at 75 days supply, and mid-range price vehicles are all above the industry average as measured by days supply. No need for alarm bells on this one, gang. New car inventories continue to grow.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
So the average transaction price, you said, went up to 40, went up $177?
Listing price. And not transaction price, but what they listed for.
Listing price went up $177. And the average listing price is $47,200 and some.
Yep.
That sounds like it went up well below the rate of inflation. Mm-hmm. Because if inflation's at 3.5%.
No, definitely. We're finally starting to see some good news.
Yes.
Definitely finally starting to see some good news.
Not great news, but it's good, news. Yes. Things appear as if they might be moving in the right direction.
They absolutely are.
Yeah, that will help make vehicles more affordable for people out there.
Chelsea came in late. What is Ally's big reveal? We're about to buy a 2025 Toyota Camry Hybrid LE. Well, Chelsea, they had 51% decline year over year in profits and materially increased their loan loss provisions. Not a huge impact, I would say, to us as consumers beyond the fact that maybe Repo Mageddon is around the corner. But we've been saying that for a long time as well. It's just another kind of chink in the armor for the auto industry. It's not strong right now. The financial sector is not strong for auto, and Ally's results are pretty damning. 51% decline year over year was not what was expected.
And may I also say to Chelsea, the good news is on that 2025 Camry LE Hybrid,
we're going to get there.
Yeah, that the base price of that vehicle dropped $455 from the 2024 model year price.
We're going to spend some time on that topic in just a moment. Before we do, we're going to come here to Articulate Arena. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was approved for a loan at a local bank. Good job. Go to Deal School. It's 100% free. CarHedge.com/Deal School. We teach you how to get a pre-approval. Articulate Arena did that. That is great. They said there was nothing else to do. They said, get a car. I spent 2 months finding a car after putting a down payment and insurance. They say, no. Is that legal? Pre-approvals from banks do not last in perpetuity.
Yeah. A pre-approval from a bank is typically good for 30 days. So if you went 60 days, then that approval could be rescinded. They could rerun your credit and see if they want to give you a loan. They should, when they told you that you were approved for a car loan, I'm assuming they must have told you a maximum amount for that car loan. Now, if your credit situation has changed in the last 60 days, they absolutely have the right to rescind an approval and to turn you down. It is no different than when somebody gets a pre-approval for a mortgage for a house, and then they go and buy a house. And if their income, if their credit has materially changed between the time they got that pre-approval and the time they want to buy the house, well, it's not a final approval that you get. It's a pre-approval. And the reason it's a pre-approval is because they want to see if things changed. And if they did, then you'll end up being turned down. So unfortunately, it's legal.
Yeah, unfortunately it is, but it's also part of why you time getting that pre-approval. Yes. I want to come here from Raymond. Thank you, Raymond. So what does Dodge do when dealers refuse? They beg.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do.
I've got some pretty interesting screenshots from some conversations between dealers and factory reps, and it's begging.
Yeah, my factory reps used to, you know, they'd start strong-arming you first. Well, if you don't help us out when you need something, don't count on us. It's not like I'm counting on you now. You know, so first they try strong-arming you. And then when a lot of dealers all refuse to take cars, then it becomes, hey, listen, I just need you to do me a favor. And anytime you need something, I'll be there to help you. Whatever it is you need, I'll help you. And they just absolutely beg, and they make you feel like a piece of poo if you turn them down. But, you know, as I used to say to one of my general managers, it's easy to take the cars. It's just hard to explain it to Mr. Penske when we finish in the red at the end of the year. So unless those cars come with a promise that they're going to give us a check to make us whole at the end of the year, so that we can't finish in the red, at the very least we'll finish neutral, then don't take the cars. You know, we have a business to run. And
that's exactly what's happening right now.
Yeah, and Mr. Penske always felt like, well, just between you and me, I want it to be a profitable business.
Yeah, 100%. And you can't blame the dealers, though. OEMs are the ones that have, you know, you can't blame the dealers for some of this, actually. Let me resend that. You can blame everyone involved, actually. It's probably the most appropriate way to say it. But the OEM is definitely the one that's footing the bill right now as inventories begin to build and dealers say, you know what, I'm good. I'm going to press pause on this. We had a really interesting question come in here, Dad, from Outsider Reviews. What is the percentage of inventory in the U.S. right now when compared to pre-pandemic? We just got the data for Canada. We are at 88% from pre-pandemic levels. I'm going to pull up something. This is not necessarily inventory, but it's days supply.
Yes.
I mean, we're the days supply of inventory is actually back higher than it was pre-pandemic.
No, you can see, can't be.
Yeah, 2024, man. That's that line right there.
Yeah.
And 2019, we're still below 2019, which is the gray line.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're above 2023, we're above 2022, above 2021.
Yeah, but forgetting day supply, we're at approximately 2.77 million. You know, the other day we saw somebody that said it was 2.8 to 1 million new vehicles in inventory. Prior to the pandemic, new car inventories on a monthly basis, either on hand or in transit that would arrive in that given month, usually range somewhere between 3.4 and 4 million vehicles. So where are we at? 75%? 80%? Will we get back to the pre-pandemic levels? I personally would not be surprised to see inventory levels surpass 3 million vehicles in the not too distant future. And by not too distant future, I'm talking 60, 90 days. You know, I just, as much as the manufacturers said they weren't going to build inventories up to that level again, well, we find them building inventories back up to that level. It appears as if they can't help themselves.
Yeah, so, seriously.
Yeah.
We've got here from Juan. Thank you, Juan.
Thank you, Juan.
Why is Nissan taking so long to bring back the Xterra, especially since off-road cars are so popular these days? I don't know. Nissan's product strategy could be studied right about now because Nissan and Infiniti are failing in the United States, but their price points are very attainable, very affordable. Oh, and then you look at like Hyundai, Kia, and their price points are generally speaking attainable, even though they've increased them, but they're blowing up. They're doing great. I don't know why Nissan's taking so long on the Xterra. I don't know why Nissan's struggling as much as they are.
Well, I think part of the reason, if I can, is because they try to play in too many sandboxes. You know, you look at Toyota, you look at Honda, you look at BMW, Mercedes. They try to have a vehicle for every conceivable niche in the car industry.
Yeah.
And I don't think you find that to the same degree, say, with Kia and Hyundai. Yes, they have a lot of vehicles, a lot of offerings, but they don't have nearly as many models as Nissan does. And so and if you have a lot of models and you're trying to play in too many sandboxes at once, and your the quality of your models has declined over time, then perhaps you've lost some consumer confidence, and that explains why they're so far behind the eight ball at the moment.
Yeah, I think you could be. I think you could very well be onto something there. I want to keep going here through the chat. We'll stay on well past 12:30 here. Thank you, everyone, for spending some of your day with us. Sunny says, "Hi, Zach. Is it fair to ask a dealer for 50% off of a Ford Mach-E if it's 300 plus days on their lot?" I wish, but I don't think they're gonna. I think they'll just sell it somewhere else, not to a consumer. They'll find a way to get rid of it.
Is it fair to ask? You could ask. You know, the response is not going to be a positive response. The response would probably be, "Hey, really, thanks so much for stopping in and wasting my time today." That's pretty much what the response is going to be. You know, can you get big discounts on those vehicles? Yes, that is what has caused sales to move upwards
significantly
on a number of EVs out there. But nobody so far has said, "Okay, we're going to have a 50% reduction sale." That just hasn't happened yet. And that's not going to happen at Ford. I do know that on the Nissan Ariya, between incentives from Nissan and dealers being aggressive, you can get as much as 19% off. Okay, so you can probably get 20% off, but you ain't getting 50% off.
I will say this is one of the things I'm really proud of. Our team maintains it behind the scenes. If you use the CarEdge car search and you have our insights, which is essentially like our car buying toolkit products, you can go on any vehicle, new or used, but I'll sort to new and we'll go to a Ford and then we'll do a Mach. Let me pull one up here. We have a target discount. This is the dealer discount that you should be shooting for. So we're saying a 5% dealer discount. There are obviously, for a lot of vehicles right now, significant manufacturer incentives as well. But this is what I like. This is updated very frequently. I see Space here in the chat with us. Space, I think we're updating this, what, weekly, every other week? I mean, you update it very frequently, Mario. So thank you for doing that. That is a great barometer for what you should expect when you go to negotiate any of these vehicles.
And if I may, Zach, you know, the amount of profit from invoice to MSRP is negligible. You know, it might be it might be a couple hundred bucks. And the way they make their money is by hitting volume and sales objectives for those vehicles. So for a dealer to discount at $3,500, $3,300 of that is coming directly from the dealer, not out of the profit of the vehicle. It's coming directly from this. They recognize the fact that if they don't do that, that damn thing's going to be sitting there for another year.
Yeah, 100%. Let's run through the chat, Pops. We have a ton of really thoughtful contributions. And to get you warmed up for that, we'll start here.
Thank you, Peggy, because I needed to get some... God, look at a move, ladies. Okay, I'm pulling myself back because, you know, every time I do that, I roll backwards. But thank you, Peggy.
Stay tuned. End of the show. We will be doing a diet and exercise update from Pops. But before we get there, from GVD. Thank you, GVD. Can you get rebates back as cash? For example, manufacturer lease cash, customer cash, maybe even the EV tax credit. How do you go about it? No, not that I'm aware of.
Well, you know, typically the rebates get applied as a down payment. And at one time you could. Yeah. No. Yeah. But at one time you could opt for the customer cash back. You would get a check from the manufacturer. And I believe, I could be wrong. You know, I've been out of the industry for a while. But I believe you still can get it as cash back if you choose not to apply it to the car deal. So you'd have
to not the EV tax credits. I know you can't do it with the EV tax credits.
Well, the EV tax credits you get from the federal government.
Yeah, and those do not go in your pocket.
Yeah, those go to
the dealer.
Yeah, that gets applied as a cash down payment.
So GVD, hopefully not $10 wasted. It's a maybe on the customer cash ones, and it's a no on the EV tax ones. I know that for sure. The EV tax ones are insane. You have to go through all the IRS systems, and like it's very, very, very cumbersome for the dealer on the other side of it, especially for leases. The leases become even more complex and convoluted. I don't think they're writing checks back to customers. We've got from David here.
Thank you, David.
I just confirmed with my friend that Ally Southeast manager that 650 FICOs or belows are not going to be approved by Ally.
Oh my God.
See you next week on the Electric Channel. Wow. That was another storyline from Ally, was that they were going to try and focus their credit approvals for higher tier credit customers. But yeah, no more approvals under 650. Whoa.
Well, what does that tell you? I guess when they do their data mining and really look at everything, my suspicion is that the upward spike in late payments and repossessions is for people with credit scores less than 650 and below. So, if that's what you're seeing, and if it's significantly higher for people with those type of credit scores, then yeah, stick with a 650 or higher to get approved.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that with us, David. We've got here from Mind the Drift. Good to see you. Traded my 2020 Honda Insight and closed on a lease for a 2024 Audi Q3 Premium Plus yesterday. I was able to get about 8% off of MSRP. This was a little under the CarEdge fair price. Did I do all right?
Yeah, you did great. Are you happy? Are you driving your new car and you're happy? Then you did all right.
Mind the Drift. I think if you're a part of our community, you used our resources and you got pretty doggone close to the fair price, you did a damn good job. Congratulations and job well done. We've got here from Akash. Good to see you, Akash. Thank you for the contribution. Can we negotiate with CarMax? I really want to purchase an Altima. What price should I start with? Pops can explain that one.
Allegedly, you cannot. Now, I guess that doesn't mean that you can't ask them how often they review their pricing on cars and say, okay, well, when's the next review supposed to happen on this particular car? And when you do review the prices, how much do they normally go down? And if they go, oh, well, you know, we review them every 15 days, and they go, okay, so how long has it been? Why don't we just pretend it's 15 days? What would the price? You can try. Allegedly, they won't do that. I have seen some comments where people have said, well, they've done it for me. So their whole business is built on they don't negotiate. So maybe it depends on a particular store's manager. I don't know.
I think your best bet is going to be tracking their price drops. That's probably. We've got a comment here from Heather. I just tried spending. I just get tired of spending so much time at the dealership. It's a pain. Is it better to go with a cashier's check? Would it change the time spent? Coming in with a pre-approval could help. I still think you're going to end up spending a lot of time negotiating. And I will do a quick plug. We have the car buying service back at CarEdge.com. Just go to CarEdge.com, click on car buying service, learn more about how you can hire us, employ us, to do that on your behalf. Obviously, this doesn't change all the free resources and the toolkit and all that fun stuff, but go check that out as an option. Pre-approval will help, but I don't think it's the end all be all. Dad, we have Marcello from Toyota World joining us on Friday's show.
That would be tomorrow. Tomorrow is Holy Friday. God,
I forgot tomorrow's Friday. How about we do a quick tease, but this can be the lead for tomorrow with Marcello.
Yes.
The fact that Toyota shocked the freaking world. Guess what tomorrow's title is going to be? They actually lowered the price of their entry-level Toyota Camry.
No, the entry-level Toyota Camry hybrid. Because in 2025, they're only producing Camrys in a hybrid. In 2024, they produced them hybrid or non-hybrid. So they've actually lowered the base price for the starting 2025 Camry hybrid.
You can visualize it, folks. The thumbnail is going to have flames. Toyota logo.
It's going to have
me going like this.
It's going to have dollars burning in those flames. Down goes Frasier.
Down goes Toyota Camry hybrid prices.
Oh my God. I'm not allowed to miss it, but for the rest of you out there, if it were me, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
You'll have to, tune in tomorrow. We will have a general manager or a sales manager from a Toyota dealership on with us. I want to just pull up from space here. Never go to a dealership unless you have a firm deal on hand. Negotiate remotely unless you like the dealership experience. Laugh out loud. Well said, Space. This is obviously what we try and teach, Coach. Email templates are updated back on caredge.com. If you go to our, caredge.com and then click on car buying tools, it'll take you right there to the email templates. We've got all the resources back there for you. And from Momo,
yeah.
Anyone use Toyota Smart Path to purchase a vehicle? Is it a gimmick or on price, or do you get the smart? What is Smart Path legit? Momo, you still got to negotiate. What they have on Smart Path, I can tell you from the dealers that we work with, the Toyota dealers we work with, we get, just because it's a Car Edge customer, a $2,000 discount relative to what's on Smart Path, just because we come in through Car Edge. So please negotiate. Smart Path numbers, they're cool. They're not the lowest number you can get to. Please, please, please.
It's called Smart Path, not Smartest Path.
Well said, Pops. All right, folks. Tomorrow's Friday. We're one day closer. Dad, let's get a diet and exercise update. How's it going?
Still at 2 pounds. I don't know why. I'm not eating a whole bunch. I did have a banana before the show. I did not get a chance to exercise yesterday because it was pouring down here.
Right.
I had no idea that it was raining like it was. I went down. I was going to go to the store and then go for a walk. And I went downstairs. I saw the rain. I went back upstairs. I did eventually make it to the store, but I mean, it was pouring.
Today
it's overcast. It's chilly. I'm wearing a sweatshirt. I am thinking that I am going to brave the conditions out there and go for a short walk today.
Do it, man. Do it. I bet you the pounds start falling as the exercise increases. And that it's just like I was saying, it's good for your faculties. It's good for your quality of life. I'm so excited about that.
I've never wanted to be a member of the faculty. So maybe if I get tenure.
Maybe if you get tenured. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Thank you, everyone, for spending some of your day with us. We appreciate it, Dad. I love you very much.
I love you as well. I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow and maybe catching up for a minute before you go to eat your lunch.
Sounds good. See you guys.
See you, everybody.